Yes, sir. Now, what is your name, sir?
My name is Darrell Scott Totten, Jr.
Okay, hold on a second, and let's see who will be. The Honorable Mrs. Rittenhouse will be conducting a hearing, sir, so just hold right on, sir.
All right.
Okay, Mr. Totten?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for the record?
Darrell Scott Totten, Jr., 141751.
Thank you, sir. I'm referring before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant. And you were notified about this hearing on January 8th when you signed a form that day. Do you remember signing that?
Excuse me?
You signed a form on January 8th.
Yes.
And notified
yes.
you of this hearing. On that form, there's a list of your hearing rights, and one of those is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So, did you hire an attorney today, sir, or will you represent yourself in this hearing?
No, ma'am, I didn't hire no attorney.
Okay, that's just fine. Most people don't hire an attorney, so not a problem. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. So I'll start with the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Next to me and on the panel is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, our board chairman. On my other side is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing. We also have in the room with us, representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer, we have the Honorable Mr. Turner. So I need to swear to both of you in, Mr. Totten and Mr. Turner. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes,
Turner?
Ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Turner.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Totten, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Totten, what I'll do for phase one is I'll read this allegation to you, and I'll need you to respond whether it's true or false. So we will start phase one, and the allegation is that you were in violation of condition number five, as demonstrated by your engagement in aggressive and threatening behavior on or about December 8, 2018, in the Pima Reentry Center ITH MEP day room. Mr. Totten, is this true or false?
True.
It's true? Okay.
True.
Thank you, Mr. Totten. I'm going to make a motion then to move to phase two of the hearing, and my motion is based on Mr. Totten's admission. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of community supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminalized or company.
Second.
Agreed.
All right. Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson. Agreed. Dr. Willery, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay. Mr. Totten, we'll move right to phase two of your hearing and determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us some background information. So just stay on the line. We'll be right back in just a few minutes to ask you some questions and talk some more. Thank you, Mr.
Yes, ma'am.
Totten. And Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. Totten was released from ADC custody on 10-16-2018 and arrested on 12-10-2018 by ADC on a tech violation. No new charges are noted. He's returned back to ADC custody on 12-10-2018 with a CSED of 216-2019, 0 abscond days. Current conviction, 2013, failure to register as a sex offender, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1996, robbery, 1 year. 1997, trafficking in stolen property, 4 years. 2004, aggravated assault, 1 year. 2009, commitment D, count one, sexual conduct with a minor, 1 year. 2009, commitment E, count two, sexual conduct with a minor, 1 year. 2015, failure to register as a sex offender, 3 years, 6 months. This is his sixth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3-3. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 1. STD information, self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang Damu Blood, Neighborhood Bloods. Prior terms of supervision, 2001 TIS release, absconded for 6 days, was arrested, Warrant was quashed, he was reinstated and arrested on the tech warrant, reached CSED in custody. 2010, TIS release, completed 1 month. 2011, TIS release, completed 1 month. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with threatening, violence, conspiracy, and weapons noted. After his return to custody, he was found guilty of a minor disciplinary. Other arrests, there were other arrests, however, charges were not filed. He has a GD score of G7, B8.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. So, Mr. Totten, we have a very brief, or actually kind of lengthy, actually, written summary of what occurred while you were on community supervision. And it looks like you were initially released homeless, excuse me, but then were assigned to the Pima Reentry Center in Tucson on Star Pass, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you were there up right through your arrest. So when you're there, you don't have a job off-site the facility, do you? You just do work around the facility there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you were just like working as a porter or something around there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What job did you have?
They usually just have us to do like outside landscaping and wiping the windows and stuff like that at the center.
Okay, so like helping with maintenance of the place. So the
yes,
place
ma'am.
Is running. Okay, gotcha. Okay. And let's see, now we have a long summary here. And it looks like you've had some conflict with, it appears, possibly a couple of officers when you kind of, it looks like you got said you got tired of everybody yelling on you and that you were going to, quote, beat their ass because you were ready to go back to the yard. So, Mr. Totten, what happened? What kind of prompted that to make you say a thing like that?
Okay, first of all, Your Honor, the officers had put me out and was telling me that one of the staff members had seen me in somebody else's house area and they mistaken me for somebody else. I was not in nobody else's house area. So they began to pull me outside to a sergeant and I was explaining it to the sergeant. He began raising his voice at me and because of the fact that I'm on psych medication, I take psych meds for my diagnosis, he began to tell me to go yell at my wife and kids. I took that as very disrespectful, talking about my wife and kids like that. And yes, I'm going to admit, I did say that about what I would do to him.
Your wife and kids, I'm just confused. Were your wife and kids there?
No, my wife and kids was not there at the center. It was just me there by myself at the center when I was talking to the sergeant. The sergeant began to raise his voice at me, and so when I got upset, he began to state to me, "Won't you go yell at your wife and your kids?"
Oh, okay, I gotcha. I got it. I was just confused. I thought maybe they were there, so this was happening.
No, ma'am.
Okay,
no,
ma'am. Okay. So that was on around the beginning of December.
Yes, ma'am.
It looks like you then apologized to her, or you said you knew you were wrong.
And yes, I did,
ma'am. You were trying to get your medication figured out, because you had run out of your meds. Okay. Okay. So then it goes a little bit further. It goes a couple days later. You came back late from your curfew. So what happened that day?
What happened that day is the city buses, I kind of got into little arguments with them because I'd be so late and getting back to the center. And the bus drivers usually state to me that they have to follow their bus schedule or they'll get in trouble.
Right.
So with my device, sometimes my device will go red and everything. And I don't have no cell phone at that time.
Okay.
I had ran out of minutes.
Okay.
So when I finally got there, they stated to me that they was been a one off my arrest, and I told them that I didn't have no cell phone. My cell phone ran out of minutes. I can't tell the bus drivers when to drive off make sure that I get there on time.
Okay.
So I was trying my best to get there each time I went out to come back at, I believe, 5 o'clock. Cause it was from 6 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And every time I go out there, I was always with my wife and my children and to make sure that I made it back at 5 o'clock. So some of the time, you know, the bus drivers would spend like 5 minutes sitting at the bus stop hoping that any more passengers would want to get on the bus.
Right.
That was the solutions on making me late there, and I was not trying to be there late on purpose, because from 29th Street and Craig Farrell from Tucson all the way down Star Pass, you know, that's like on another side of town. You know, it would take them a while to drive all the way from there to Star Pass.
Okay. So Mr. Hoffman says that you kind of, that day, that you kind of seemed to have slurred speech and you were kind of not your normal self. How would you explain that? Were you not feeling good, or did you, what happened?
Well, my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, which is my wife's parents, are past 70 years old. They barely can walk. Me and my wife have to help them get in the van, do the shopping for food, their appointments for courts and hospital issues, their thing to help, or even cook for them. So therefore, no, I was not feeling like myself because I was missing them, that I began to cry, and because I'll be really want to go see them. But even though from 6 to 5, sometimes I feel like that was an unfair curfew because of the fact that they didn't even cry because they didn't want me to go. And as far as my wife's concerned, you know, me and my wife still send everybody joy and everything, so she was all like, I'm tired of you, you know what I'm saying, going through all this and everything, because I can't ever have a chance to spend any time with you, because she takes heavy medication like I do, so we're both with disabilities.
Yeah.
And when I was at the center and everything, I just be trying my best to ask other clients that I knew, is there any way if I could please use the phone to call and talk to her, because my phone had run out of minutes, and I just didn't really feel like myself at that time. I wasn't on my medication until they helped me get on my medication, was when I started taking my medication. Okay. And
so you think it might have been a medication thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then it looks like the next day, you walked a long way, it looks like, all the way from Kodak back down there to Pima Reentry Center. That's pretty far. But it also, this indicates that you had stopped, because you're wearing that ankle monitor, that you'd gone to a liquor store and an apartment on Benson Highway. Is that where your in-laws live, or where your wife lives on Benson Highway?
No, it was those associates, someone that I socialized with, that live right there.
Okay, so you went and stopped at a friend's.
Yes, I stopped at a friend's and I talked to him.
Okay.
As far as the liquor store is concerned, you know, I don't drink liquor. I was just going in there to buy me some smokes.
Right.
Not no marijuana, just some tobacco, and that's all that was.
Okay, but then the next statement in this report is that you also admitted to marijuana use. Did you use marijuana,
yes,
Mr. Thompson?
Yes, yes. I'm sorry about that, ma'am. Yes, I did smoke it a blunt because of the fact that you know, my anger started to get to me, and I needed to stay very calm. When I got there, when Flores, my parole officer, had stated to me, have I used, I told her that I used it twice.
Okay.
And the victor, which is their supervisor, had told me, have I did any methamphetamine or any cocaine? And I was truthful with them. I told him no. And the UA came out negative.
Good.
Drinking a lot of fluids. That was the only time that I had used. But I have no more cure for marijuana. I'm done with that stuff. I'm clean now. I just wanted you to know that, you know, that's not the life for me. I'll change my life to the Lord. All I want to do is just get out, get a job, go to church, and come home. That's all I want to do.
Okay, so I believe you. Mr. Totten, you understand when you're wearing that ankle monitor, your parole officer can see exactly where you are. I mean, even if you walk past a Circle K, your parole officer can tell whether you went in or you just walked past. You understand that?
Yes, ma'am.
So,
I understand.
And when you're on full supervision, or when you're on this type of supervision, you really have to, it's difficult, and you know, it'd be a big challenge for you, but you have to do what the parole officer says.
Yes, ma'am, but not one that would do what they tell me to do.
Right, and that's why you wound up getting in trouble, is because they felt like, it says here, they kind of felt like you weren't taking it seriously.
Yes, ma'am.
You weren't taking that seriously.
Yes, ma'am. I take it seriously now. These are my freedom. I only have received one letter from my wife, and she's looking for, she has found an apartment for us to move into called the North Point Apartments on Urkel somewhere.
Oh, good.
And so she has wrote me a letter, good things, nothing negative, and she told me that she's going to make sure that she keeps me off the streets, because the streets ain't nothing but negativity, and I told her, yes, babe, that is true, it is negativity. No more liquor stores, no more marijuana. I've got in my heart. I love my kids more than anything in the world. They miss me. They really need me back out there. I'm trying everything that I can in God's hands to be blessed for that to really happen. Now, I'm not saying this, trying to aid anyone on the parole board. I'm being seriously sincere to y'all as a parole board when I state this on the phone. So my past and anything else that I have done, I want every bit of one of you apology for my actions.
Okay, Mr. Chalk. Now, how many kids do you have?
I have four children. I have a son named Tyrell Tavon Totten.
Okay.
He is 16 years old, but he's in Phoenix with his auntie. I have a 10-year-old daughter named Samantha, an 18-year-old daughter named Sierra, a 15-year-old son named Jarrell.
Okay, well, it sounds like you have a nice family, too, so...
Yes, ma'am. They really miss me and really need me out there more than the world, because my wife wrote me a letter. She said that I hurt her and that I left her. I would never leave my wife for nobody else. I'll never say I hurt her. Never that.
No, that's good to hear, sir. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions. Do you have questions for Mr. Totten? Okay, Mr. Totten, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the chance. Is there anything else you thought of while you were talking, maybe that you wish you would have told the board? But just don't repeat something you've already told us. Is there anything else you'd like the board to know?
Yes, I just want the board to know that I totally apologize for my actions. And from now on, I take it very serious, because I miss my freedom. When it comes to family that needs family the most, you know, for my actions, it was on call for it. I totally apologize to the officers. And I pray that I can be blessed to get it back up out here and prove to all y'all that I can do this. I'm not a queer, I'm a winner. Just like my mom used to tell me before I lost my mother back in January 14th, 2017, and my baby mama, February 9th, always told me, one thing that you have to do, son, is always be a winner, never be a quitter. So, true self sets you free, never tell any lies.
All right, and, sir. That sounds like good advice.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, Mr. Totten, the board is going to go into discussion, and we just ask that you stay on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a minute. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. The board is now in discussion. Excuse me. That's right when my throat goes out. It sounds like Mr. Totten is very sincere, man, and he was trying hard. He just seems like he didn't quite understand that he has to do everything as the parole officer says, and he was having some transportation issues, it sounds like. But he did also go some places that he admits he wasn't allowed to go, the liquor store, for example, and stopping at the friend's apartment, and also he admitted to using marijuana. He does have a release date. I think it's about a month from today. And I'm thinking probably isn't the best bet for him. I know he's missing his family, but if he were to just stay where he is until the 16th, he would have no parole officer to worry about. He would be completely free and not have to worry about reporting to a parole officer. And I'm thinking that's probably going to be his best bet. But I'd listen to any input from fellow board members. Any comments from board members? And I'm going to make a motion based on information and warrant 2018-W3584, our conversation with Mr. Totten, information from Mr. Turner. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Totten was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by using marijuana while he was on community supervision and also not following the directives of his parole officer.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson. Agreed, Dr. Wright. Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, back to you, Mr. Totten.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you there, sir? The board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir, but I'd like you to think about it this way, not as a negative thing. I know you're missing your family, but on February 16th, you're going to be out. And you're not going to have a parole officer. You're not going to have to worry about any of this. You're not going to have to go where somebody tells you to go. So I really think your best bet is just to stay where you are, be strong for another month, and you'll be out, sir. So we certainly wish you the best with your family. It sounds like you have a great family, and you have a great wife who's very supportive of you. And those are some of the most critical things to somebody's success in the community. So we want to wish you the best, sir, the best of luck, and we hope that we never see you back here again in Orange. Okay,
me too.
Sir?
And so when I get out, ma'am, yes. I'm not going to have no probation, no nothing.
Nope, you'll have nothing. So okay. you'll just have you. So we are putting wishing you the best. And thank you so much for being so respectful in the hearing today, sir. You've been very pleasant.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Totten. And this will conclude your hearing. If you could get the CO3 back on the phone for us, thank you.
Thank you. God bless you all.
Thank you, sir.